Hey guys, it's the Great Debates Podcast, our second episode of Long June.
Oh yeah, I'm loving my Long June.
Long June is the time.
It's the time of the year that we all look forward to.
Yeah. Just for people who didn't hear the last episode, Long June is genuinely agreed by pretty much everyone to be right before Memorial Day to right after July 4th.
Yeah, this year it runs, I think, May 27th to July 5th.
Mm-hmm. Memorial Day weekend through 4th of July weekend. Well, now that we've clarified that, I think we should just jump right into it with a micro debate.
I would love. Do you want it?
Yeah.
Go for it, buddy.
Oh, raspberry. No.
I've got 3 minutes on the clock here. The topic up for debate, Steve Healy taking the pro. The average college graduate can name an architect.
Okay, I'm Steve Healy, I'm taking the pro. Yeah, Leonardo da Vinci was an architect. Now look, I admit that's a little bit of a cheap shot, but I think most college graduates could name him and know that he designed some buildings. But let's just assume that I've won the debate there and keep playing along. Here are the three, true architects that I think most college graduates could name. I'll start with the least likely and build to most likely. Number three, Frank Lloyd Wright. I think most college graduates could name Frank Lloyd Wright. Number two, Eiffel Tower guy. I think most college graduates, given some time, could come up with that name. But the number one most likely architect most college graduates could name is Mr. Brady from the Brady Bunch. I think almost any college graduate could name him and know that he was an architect.
Is that that's what you're going? Okay, so I think we have to think about that you're stopping the average college graduate and saying to them, hey, can you name an architect? And
yeah, it's a jaywalking situation.
Okay, well, so while limited you're correct graduates. That there are these technical answers that they could come up with, like Gustav Eiffel and Leonardo da Vinci, they're not going to have the same creative logic that you are. No, maybe one in a thousand kids is going to say, actually, Leonardo da Vinci was an architect. But
what do you think most kids are going to say?
Fuck, man, I didn't study that. I don't know.
I was in architecture. Franklin Wright? That's probably what will happen.
I think that happens. I think about 40% of the time, people will say something like that, ending with Frank Lloyd Wright or that Geary guy.
Yeah,
that's about
sure.
it.
Great.
And I think
that's
60.
Two.
Right, but I think 60% of the time, people will be like, shit, man, I don't know.
Why is 60?
Well, I'm trying to. All I have to do is say that the average, because I'd be foolish to say that 100% of college graduates
but
couldn't
name
an architect.
You genuinely think 60, that's the number they could.
It's like an estimated guess. Yeah, yeah, I'm trying to win the right. argument that the average, also, by
I think
the way,
30% blank completely. Oh, I mean,
great.
That's it.
But Mike, I got to say something about Mike Brady, which is that the average college student today doesn't know who the fuck Mike Brady is. The Brady Bunch, they don't watch the Brady Bunch on TV land, and they certainly didn't watch when it first came out. The average college student, the average college graduate was born in 1998.
Oh, what about the character Howard Rourke from the Atlas Shrugged? Isn't he an architect?
Great example. So many college graduates are going to be talking about Howard Rourke.
Well, you and me aren't, but the average, dorky kid that read. I mean, that's the most popular book among 20-year-olds in America, probably.
No, it's. What are you talking about? You're saying Atlas Shrugged is the most popular book among 20-year-olds?
I'm pretty sure Ayn Rand among 20-year-old males in America is one of the more popular books. Yeah.
I still think that even if that's the case, which it's not, people would not. When someone asks them, "Can you name an architect?" They're not going to name a fictitious one because they're not that creative.
Deans, what do you think?
Is the average college graduate drawn from...
Well, this is a great question. I know
everyone that's ever graduated from college?
Or a recent college
Or it's a guy that just graduated from college, or a gal that just graduated from college.
I guess it's all college graduates.
Are we talking two-year or four-year colleges? Any kind of college degree?
I feel like the pool is getting too large. Hmm. I'm going to go with, your average 22-year-old college graduate.
Right. Yeah, I don't think they would name it. I think
those are the people, by the way, who are most likely to have the name of an architect ready.
No, they're the most
They've
likely.
They've been studying for
dude,
years.
You're wrong. They're the most likely to go dude, I don't know. The last thing I want
to
do is answer an academic question.
Okay, look, I think it's obvious that Healy wins with Frank Lloyd Wright. but I don't think Eiffel is the obvious choice. I definitely, King's point about Brady, no one remembers who Peter Brady is.
Mike Brady.
Less likely that they remember that he was an architect. Didn't even remember that he was an architect, and I've seen the show.
Do you think most people, most college graduates know that Eiffel was a guy?
I do not think that they do.
I don't think about it until like I went to Paris.
Right.
Oh, tell us more.
You have named his first name, or did Dave help you out there?
I love that Dave put that in
there. Flew right in there with Gustav.
That was cool.
Thank you so much.
But I think there's something to the idea that the average college graduate is like, I got to be somewhere I'm at. Yeah. I don't know.
We should
know.
Have defined whatever. Where they're being stopped on the way, how busy they are.
You said it, jaywalking, but you meant the Tonight Show version of jaywalking, I assume.
Yes.
I'm serious.
Yes.
You did,
J-10
right?
Walking. Yeah.
Which is, so we're, that's like outside of Cantor's or something.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Universal City, right? Yeah.
So it's relaxing. You're not in a hurry.
Right. You're not. Okay. That's fair. So they might try to think of an architect.
I think that gets me the couple percentage points to.
That you need 51% of them.
Now I want to like actually hit the streets and see name an architect. Yeah. I just want to, this would be a great escalator interview question.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like also, is there a time limit on these people?
And the jaywalking, they're sort of like a conversational, however long until it gets weird.
Until they give up.
Yeah.
Or it gets weird.
Mm-hmm. How many, I don't want you to list them, but in a name that tune style contest, how many, or that's not what it is, but how many architects do you think you could name?
In like 10 seconds?
No, in like a minute.
In a minute, I bet I could name 12.
12 is pretty good.
Yeah.
Now I should we let him try? It's so
let's,
dumb.
Let's try.
Put him in on the clock. Healy.
Ready?
Yeah.
Go.
Okay. Mies van der Rohe, Geary, Philip Johnson, I.M. Pei, Da Vinci, Frank Lloyd Wright, Eiffel, Thomas Jefferson was an architect, designed Monticello. What's his name? Houseman, the guy that laid out Paris. He's kind of an urban planner.
He's up to 9. He needs to name 3 architects in 30 seconds.
Who? Albert Speer, the Hitler's guy.
Hitler's guy. He needs 2. Tick, 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 tick.
I'm just reading about different architects. Oh, my friend Bryony and Mike Brady.
Mike Brady, a fictional architect. Give me one more.
The way I'm doing it is going to buildings and working backwards. Who did the big splashy? Oh, Renzo Piano.
Done. Piano, of course, is the guy.
Did I get in there under a minute?
Yeah, you did great.
Yeah!
You just made it.
Yeah!
Nicely
what
done.
What a win.
12. A win. Way to estimate the number of architects you could name.
Thank you.
That's almost the more impressive feat.
Ladies, he's at Healy Times on Twitter.
Is it at Healy Times still? Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It goes down in the DM,
mm-hmm.
as they say when you're talking about architects.
Are we
guys, I think
chat?
We're in host chat
yeah,
here.
It seems like it, yeah. Guys, we were talking about the song of the summer the other day, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I feel like I have a nominee.
What is it?
The Avalanches.
Right.
Australian DJs, the Avalanches, released a new song.
Yeah.
It's called Frankie Sinatra. And it has the kind of annoying carnival-y quality that's often with a song of the summer. Like, it's not, I'm not sure it's a great song. But it'll stick in your craw. It's fun to hear by the pool. I think, check it out.
What's the greatest song of the summer of all time?
Thong Song Cisco.
I would say the Daft Punk album that summer was awesome. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, that was great. That was good. I'm kind of joking about, I am joking about Thong Song, but it did capture everything you wanted in a summer song.
Mm-hmm. What about
it was dumb and infectious and.
What
about
New Kids on the Block? Had a
LFO, Summer Girls, RIP, that guy's dead. He gone.
He's dead?
He gone.
I did not know that.
Yeah. But that was a great summer song. It had all this very similar elements, like low common denominators, silly, a bit of a wink in it, catchy.
Can you think of any examples of something that was obviously intended to be a song of the summer that just didn't land?
Well, the first example that comes to mind is that song, Summertime by the Sundays, Do you, you know that song? It's a beautiful song. And it's you and me. But it like was released, at least in the States, in like October. And I remember our friend Matt Warburton at the time, when we were in college, pointed out, like, this has to be the worst release date of all time for a song, because this is like, this should be the song you're singing with your lady on the beach.
Yeah, although is there something nice about being wistful in October for the summer gone by?
Not if you're trying to win the contest of Song of the Summer.
God damn it, Healy. You wanted an example. I gave you one, and now you're like, yeah, but wasn't that maybe a smart move?
Welcome to the game of great debates, bud.
I don't know. I think the Avalanche song could be like our Song of the Summer. I'm skeptical that it'll have the reach that's required for a Song of the Summer.
Could be. Mm-hmm. Could be. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of, I mean, like, what do you mean by our? I mean like, the three of us or our demo?
Maybe a little of both.
I mean, the Song of the Summer will be determined by 16-year-old kids. So.
Yeah, that's, yeah. But we can still have our own Song of the Summer.
Oh.
Great Debate Song of the Summer.
Oh, let's see. Avalanche's song, Frontier Psychiatrist, still gets me so psyched. And the video is unbelievable. Have you seen it? It's sort of like a little
puppet show. Kind
of. Yeah, it's really fun.
A listener sent in three picks for each of us.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
For Dave, he says, Try Everything by Shakira.
Mm-hmm. Wait. Okay. Mm-hmm. Is this based on like the ethos of the song?
I don't know. This is listener Philip E. He sent in picks for each one of us.
Okay.
I've never heard any of these songs, so I can't tell you.
Okay, try.
Try Everything by Shakira for Dave.
Okay.
For Dan, I Have a Ghost Now What by Jaga Jazzist.
Okay, I'm going to check that out after you record this.
For Steve, two picks. L'Agonie dans le Jardin by Cheval de Frise, or Decembers by Venetian Snares.
Venetian Snares.
There you go. Philip E.
Way to go, Philip E.
Is this guy going to kill us?
Let's listen to the songs and find out.
I have chosen your summer song.
You will listen all summer.
You will listen in your cave. Do you like the song I chose for you? Your last song?
You may answer only once.
Answer by urinating in the corner. While I watch. Sorry, Philip.
Philip's really great. It's like father of six.
We will listen to the songs. I'm sorry.
I'm ready to talk about what we're going to do with the main event here at the Great Debate for today.
Top About-ems.
Yeah. Top About-ems. We're going to do Top About-ems.
Baby Winston Payne, what's wrong?
You've been saying the word Top About-ems.
Top About-ems.
Top About-ems, so it's a play on Top About-ems.
It's three words, Top About-ems. Yeah, it's a play on Top About-ems.
And the last word is
Top About-ems. Top apostrophe space about space apostrophe M's. Is that right?
Yeah, okay,
top About-ems.
Yeah.
That's where we talk about the topics that we might use today on the Great Debates.
Yes.
Okay. I've got some topic submissions from the guys here.
Right.
That they each privately passed to me. And I was going to read them out loud just to see if we got a reaction
from either one of them. Sort of new system here just to... Right, Healy, is that what's going on?
We're trying out our new system, yeah.
So these topics will, whatever we debate is going to be fresh. We don't know what we're doing.
It's I'm the only one that has seen all the topics under consideration in advance as the moderator. Okay, so here's a topic that was passed to me by Healy, which is, you don't want to be described as cute.
Okay, that's interesting.
Here's a top submitted by a listener. And the top is, it's the thought that counts.
Okay, interesting.
Hey, Dave, it's your birthday tomorrow. Why don't you pick the topic we debate?
Well, I actually think that the cute one is the best of these topics.
Great.
So let's just go for it.
Okay, Steve Healy taking the pro. The topic is you don't want to be described as cute.
If you're a child or a puppy, it's maybe okay. But for everyone else, you don't really want to be described as cute. People aren't really using it as a compliment. If you're a man and you're cute, it's usually coming in the terms of like, cute. Or a little bit sarcastic. There's a little bit of a negative spin on there. Plus, a cute guy is essentially harmless. He's not an effective man, it's not really what you want. For women, I feel like cute, that's a cute top, is often used as sort of a way out to mean like not beautiful, not truly great, not truly excellent. Plus, besides, it's cute as a physical descriptor. We don't really want that. You'd rather be described as energetic, lively, fun, cool, intelligent, charming, witty, great to be around, a loyal friend. These are the kinds of things you want to be described as. Cute is a little bit of a diminutive, a put down. I don't think you want to be described as cute.
Well, look, I'd be foolish to argue that the word cute is always used in a positive way. Obviously, like many words, if the tone is said in a pejorative way, and I'll even grant you that cute, more than other generally positive words, can have a sort of backhanded tone to it. But I certainly think that more often than not, people want to be described as cute. I call my girlfriend cute all the time. I think she likes it. She calls me cute. I'm always happy to hear that. I'd rather be cute than not cute. What you're saying is that, like, to be called cute implies that you're not something better than that. Like, oh, we use cute in place of beautiful or something like that. But I don't think that's the case. I think what we're arguing is, what's the wording again, Medina?
You don't want to be described as cute.
Yeah, I want to be described as cute. Of course I do. If the choice is not being described as
cute. Is that what you want?
Yeah. As opposed to Dave, he's not cute. Or just Dave. Yeah, I'd rather be described
cute
as Dave.
If cute Dave were your nickname, would you be into that?
Yeah, that'd be great. I'd totally take that. It's a lot better than some of the other nicknames I've had in the past. I mean, like, when I was a child and people, whatever, like, you know, I'm not going to tell you what.
What? You're not?
I mean, I didn't really have nicknames that were mean, but like when you get teased as a child for your physical appearance or whatever.
Not cute Dave.
Well, again, you can joke about it, but I'd much rather be called cute Dave than not cute Dave. Also, you said that it's like just a physical descriptor, but in fact, actually, things like ideas can be described as cute. And a lot of times I can think of many examples when
I think it's a cute idea. That's
well, that's the way you really say it, because you tend to be a sort of indirect person who uses nastiness instead of like telling people what you actually think. But oftentimes when we're in the idea, when we're in the writer's room, I'll say like, oh, that's cute. Maybe it's this. And what I mean by that is like, oh, that's a clever way of thinking. And I don't think I use it in a pejorative way. So I'd rather be described as cute than, of course I want to be described as cute.
I think you are one of the more cute, happy as a sayer and receiver, user of that word. It's more common for you. But I ask the listener out there to really think about the last 10 times or so that you used the phrase cute or had it used about you. And if it was exactly what you wanted, if it was good feeling that it gave you, or if you were using it to kind of put something in a box, a cute little box where you could tuck it away and diminish some of it. I think being described as cute is a bit diminishing, and that's why I think you don't
want to be described as cute. Well, part of your argument, I think, is a bit... I think it's almost offensive, actually, that you would say that men don't want to be called cute because it somehow disempowers them. And I say, why does the idea of masculine, why should a man have to be described as strong or brave or something like that? I think there's absolutely nothing wrong with a man being described as cute. A man being described as, like, in the same way that there's nothing wrong as describing a man as beautiful, again, I'd certainly rather be called cute than not cute.
Okay, here's why.
And I don't think it takes away from my power or...
It connects to strong and brave, but it isn't quite as concrete as what you're saying. I think you know that you're kind of slipping that in. I think what cute really means, basically, is like harmless, helpless. When we think of a cute, if you're picturing cute pictures, what you see on cute overload is like little helpless hamsters, little
cute overload puppies. Is such a great example. I was going to bring it up myself. Cute overload is so popular and joyous.
Yeah,
and
the idea it's great. If you're a hamster,
it makes people so happy.
I agree. There's a room for cuteness in the
what
world,
is wrong
but
with
you,
being
a human being, don't want to be described as cute.
I do.
Because you're
I
being like
be
a little helpless hamster, little tiny frog. You're not being like the fullness of your humanity.
Again, I think that like you're just totally focusing on the secondary aspect of what it means to be cute, as opposed to the main aspect, which is that it's physically pleasing. That it's like something that we enjoy. That it's something that like the basic idea behind cute is that it gives you a positive feeling. I mean, of course, cute overload is nothing. I mean, people share the videos of cute overload on Twitter like it's opiates, practically. You have to see this. Oh my God, I'm so happy I finally saw this. Look at how cute this is. Why wouldn't I want to encompass some of the same qualities that a video of little hamsters or hedgehogs swimming in a sink has?
It's a great quality for little hamsters and little hedgehogs, but it's not what you want as a human that's going to be a person who's capable, a person who can give and receive love, a person who can bring something to the table. No, there is something about the word cute. It's vulnerable. It's...
I certainly would like to be described as vulnerable. I think vulnerability is a great quality. In fact, I think some of the things you're describing are actually either neither good nor bad nor or good, like vulnerability. And I think that like being, whether it's like physically weaker than most people or just like being, I don't really know what cute, what the secondary meanings of cuteness has to do with capability. I don't really see that connection, but certainly like if this may sound like a joke, but why shouldn't we as people want to be more like little hedgehogs? I mean, wouldn't you rather that all people were like cute, adorable little hedgehogs than they were like, you know,
no, I think that's,
whatever capable means?
No, I'm going to make my closing statement. I think that's exactly wrong. That's infantilizing. And I'm talking about, I think I'm going to limit my argument here to adults, if you'll allow me to. I mean, it's not in the topic, but I think
adults... It's called cheating. That's fine. You do whatever you want. I'll play by the rules.
Adults should seek to be something more than helpless, needy creatures. And that's really what the word cute gets at. It's a quality of smallness, a quality of helplessness. And that's why I think adults shouldn't be described as cute, because it takes away from the fullness of their adulthood. And that's what we should be growing into, trying to mature into. I think, yeah, it's great to imagine yourself as a tiny little helpless hamster. It's nice to feel that way sometimes, but in general, you want to be a full, strong, capable adult, and you don't want to be described as cute.
So much of what the struggle of being an adult is an inability to recapture the joys and simplicity of childhood. And I, this again, this may sound silly, but I'm willing to go to this extent if that's where you want this argument to go to. I think that absolutely we should take pride in being described as cute, because in some ways, you may take the secondary meaning of cute, again, other than just like that looks, you know, good and pleasing. You think the secondary meaning is something about being incapable and not being fully mature. I say that there's a secondary meaning, which is this person is childlike. They have a sense of wonder about them. They are living in the moment. And I say that is absolutely something that should be praised. And I would absolutely want to be described as cute. End of closing statement. You lost.
Good points on both sides. Tugged at me a little bit, because there is, Healy, what you got to, I think there is, when someone describes you as cute, there's a little bit of the satisfaction that Dave is talking about, but there's also that like, oh, I just wish you'd gone a little higher with
sure,
that.
Yes, sure. Yes.
And that kind of got me.
But
you know, it's sure is nice to be called cute rather than nothing. But I hear you, Heels. Does anyone really want to be described as cute, or is it a consolation prize? Maybe I'm going to give this one to Heels.
That's fair.
Well, I mean, really?
I thought think I won, but whatever.
My butt handed to
but
me.
But I will say that I do think it's actually like...
I thought this was one of Dave's strongest debates ever.
Thank you so much.
Really?
That's good. I thought he really touched on some things he really cares about. He had some real life examples.
Well, here's what I think is actually that the truth of it is that I think this is like kind of an issue of personal choice in some ways.
Obviously, and experience.
Experience. I love being called cute. I don't care that much at all about being like, you know, macho or like being an adult or whatever. I feel like and I'm also like very happy when anyone describes me in any sort of like physically attractive way, because it's on, you know, it doesn't happen as much as it does for the beautiful people in the world, shall we say. So I love to be called.
You know what
cute.
You didn't bring up that I think everyone would agree is fine is being called a cute couple. Everybody likes that.
That's interesting.
Oh, yeah, that's fantastic.
But even to your point, I mean, would you rather be described as a cute couple or like a perfect couple or a wonderful couple or like they're an amazing couple or like...
Yeah, but this isn't a...
Yeah, cute couple is good.
I take cute couple.
Yeah, that's good. Do you think we're a cute couple, you and me, Healy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I think you and Esther are a cute couple
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. That to me is a no-brainer. But I don't think you and I are a very cute couple.
You don't?
It's like, I don't know.
Well, we're not a couple, so.
That might be part of it.
Yeah.
That might be part of it.
If we were a couple, do you think people would describe us as a cute couple? I think so. Because you are very physically affectionate and bring out a lot of you indulge cuteness a lot.
I would cuddle the shit out of you in public. You'd get kisses on the neck like you wouldn't believe.
Ooh. Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah.
I would have to be such a different person.
People out there that talk about the great debates are like, yeah, and then these guys argue a bunch, and then, you know, they're cute. They're really cute. It's cute the way that they argue.
I mean, I'm sure the word has been used once or twice.
And do you want to be described that way?
Yeah, I'd be fine with that.
Somebody once described the podcast as snackable.
Snackable.
And I wasn't sure whether to take that in a good way or a bad way. Like,
I like snackable. I think that gets to the heart of what we're trying to do. Yeah. It's like, I'll say it again. I know I've said it before, but the best review we ever got is that this is a complete waste of time.
Yeah. I think the highest praise that you can bestow on anything is to call it uncrustable. And I think this podcast is uncrustable.
I had a situation of describing to a person who was coming to the live event but knew nothing about the great debates, and it was like, you guys just argue. There's going to be a theater with people there to see.
Truly nothing.
Yeah, I really had to back away from it a bit and be like, I'm telling you, it's very stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's what we do, man.
Hopefully it's the best kind of stupid.
I had fun.
I think you guys are cute.
Medina, I think it goes without saying. You know how I feel about you, buddy.
Well, how did we do here on our second episode of Long June? I think we had a pretty good time.
Write to us. Let us know. Tell us about being called cute, about what you think is cute. We're at Great Debate 69.
Do you like to be called cute, or are you reaching for something higher? Do you completely disagree with me on my call here, or can you see that it really all comes down to personal experience and taste? Well, guys, I enjoyed this episode, as I usually do. Can't think of a time I haven't enjoyed an episode, but I think it's worth saying anyways, and I'm looking forward to seeing you all next week. The Great Debates is produced by Mark Caracello. Our audio engineer is Mackenzie Kellerman. The theme song was composed by Christopher Knight. The debaters are Steve Healy and Dave King, and the podcast is moderated by Dan Medina.